Chapter 71 Butcher's Gap. A moment after the Shalane glanced at him from behind Mikik's illuminated form, Jen felt himself freed from the invisible bond that nailed him to the abominable throne. With his power stripped from him and with Mikik between him and the Shalane, few options presented themselves. He cast his gaze upward to the promontory, but saw no sign of Torbrand or Falael. Are they dead? Captured? The Shalane, Shatan, Mikik, and Dayson all had turned toward the battlements as the people cheered their victory. Then he saw it. The sword of Aldredan Mikmir. His sword. The sword Shatan had killed the impostor with. The explosion had melted away the blade about halfway down, and the ragged tip still glowed white. While he couldn't be certain the sword still possessed any of the virtue that had displayed itself so powerfully in destroying the warped creature, he had no other means with which to strike. As the cheering died down, he realized his dilemma. Everyone on the wall thought him a monster and a traitor. If anyone saw him move, they would alert Mikik and he wouldn't get close enough to touch his enemy. He couldn't believe that Mikik would let Shatan live, and as the Dark God proffered the Ha'ulric transcendence and rest, Jen knew he had to act. The spectacular light gathering around the Ha'ulric provided the distraction he needed. Launching himself from the throne, he hit the ground at a dead sprint, slowing only slightly to scoop up the blade, hilt warm in his hands. Jen ran just behind the luminous figure of Mikik, though he knew he had little cover. Mikik offered the Shalane her transcendence. The Shalane said something in return, and then shouts of horror from the walls filled the air. Jen grinned. It was too late. Just as Mikik started to turn, he lifted the blade high and rammed it into the small of Mikik's back. It sank in and stuck. Mikik howled in agony, his aura fading as he shot backward into the air as if pulled by a string and disappeared over the mountain, leaving a stunned and horrified audience. "The Ilk!" someone screamed. Jen knew he had little time before the Padres would work their magic upon him. "Jen!" the Shalane cried. "What has happened?" "Die, filth!" Dayson yelled, stepping forward to strike. Jen stunned him with a lightning-fast punch to the throat and grabbed the Shalane's arm, pulling her to him and launching off the side of the extended bridge. Howls of disbelief and agony washed over them and faded as they fell through the air, ground rushing toward them. Jen held her tight, and she clung to him just as hard, eyes closed and wind whistling in her ears. When their feet settled lightly on the canyon floor, she opened her eyes. Jen regarded her kindly, extending his hand beneath her veil and rubbing her face. "I'm so sorry, Shalane," he said, face sad. "What happened, Jen?"
"He tricked everyone, Shalane. He has won today."
"My child? What has he done to my child?" she cried, hands trembling.
"He unmade it, Shalane. The baby's gone. I am sorry. I could not get to you sooner to warn you."
She collapsed on the ground and wept.
"How? It's impossible."
Jen pulled her to him for several moments and let her cry before picking her up and moving. They had to hide. If the Padres chose to pursue them, he had nothing with which to counter their magic. Uyumak corpses lay everywhere in grotesque shapes, and he hiked away from them until their sight and stench no longer assaulted their senses. A nearby boulderfall among a copse of fir trees provided seclusion, and he set the Shalane down in the shade. She refused to relinquish her grip on his neck, and he pulled her onto his lap and held her as she collected herself.
"I have failed, Jen," she finally said. "I am a wretch."
"No, Shalane. You did everything the prophecy said you would. The rest of us have failed you, and I not the least."
"What happened to you?" she asked. "Why did that creature have you?"
Jen explained the story to her, and she listened, numb.
"And so, Shalane, the world thinks I am a villain now, and perhaps I am. If the Padres come, you will need to leave me behind. Your mother and Lord Kildan's army should be here soon, if all went as planned. I'd hoped they would be here now. The Shadan and an elf, named Falael, were also supposed to join me, but it is possible they too think I have betrayed them."
"I won't leave you, Jen," she promised softly. "I know the truth. What happiness have I ever known without you? If the world is to suffer from my failure, please take me where I cannot hear their accusing voices. Take me where I can forget the beautiful face of my son.
Jen mourned with her as she sobbed, finding no words to offer her.
Shalane!
Someone yelled.
Dacen? The Shalane asked, wiping her eyes and disengaging herself from Jen. I've got to explain to him.
Jen!
Jen pulled his sword. It's Torbrand, too. Let me talk to them.
No, let me, the Shalane offered. Dacen will listen to me.
Together, then. They stepped out from their cover, finding Dacen, Torbrand, and Falael walking toward the place of their concealment. Dacen, face decorated with new bruises, pointing the way.
I've done her no harm, Jen said. Please hear me out.
You have been deceived. What happened was not—
Shut up! We know!
Torbrand said.
How?
Jen asked.
Joran! After Mikik had descended in his glory, she woke us up and explained the whole ruse, telling us we had to save Shatan and the Shalane at all costs. One out of two isn't bad. After Jen stabbed Mikik, she kicked us over the edge and fled. Shatan was transcended, and you had jumped with the Shalane. Soldiers started flooding out onto the bridge. We grabbed Dacen. Had to beat him a fair bit to get him to listen.
Dacen strode forward and pulled the Shalane protectively aside.
Is it true, m'lady?
He said, voice gravelly.
It is true, Dacen. Your queen has failed, and Mikik will destroy us all.
None of this can be laid to your charge,
Dacen asserted. I must sit. My legs will no longer carry me,
she said, and Dacen helped her down to lean against a tree.
Any sign of Mirel and that army of hers?
Torbrand asked.
No, Jen answered.
Odd, Torbrand said. Well, I suppose with Shatan dead that I am now the Shadan of Orgmir again. I turn command of this little party over to you, Jen.
Jen turned to the elf.
Falael, you and I will scout down the canyon and see if they are near. Don't leave me, Jen, please,
the Shalane begged. Dacen eyed him narrowly. Jen turned to explain when Torbrand grabbed his arm.
I'm just as good in the wild as you. Stay with her. My son-in-law is with Mirel, remember?
Jen nodded, and Torbrand and Falael ran out into the canyon. Jen returned to where the Shalane sat, head in one hand, with Dacen stroking the other.
If you have the strength, your grace, Dacen said, a little healing would not go amiss.
Leave her be, for pity's sake, Dacen, Jen chided him. The black eye will heal, and you'll have your looks back. Help me find a couple of straight branches for a litter.
Dacen scowled at him but complied.
They stayed near the grieving queen, and Jen ached for her. His time with her had taught him that she feared one thing above all, to prove a failure and doom the world. While any rational creature would never assign her any blame in the day's events, he knew her diffident heart pounded her with guilt. He understood what it was to feel as she did, and it had taken a great deal to pull himself out that hole.
She needs her mother, and she needs a purpose, he thought.
While Dacen cleared a branch, Jen crossed to her and removed his cloak.
Shalane, listen to me. This cloak is special. We will make your litter with it, but do not lose it. It is elven and imbued with magic. By its power, we were able to survive the fall from Echo Hold. It can be very useful in the right places.
Then you keep it, she said. You should take your stones back, too. The numb apathy in her voice shocked him.
No, Mikik is not going to come for me, Shalane. He wants you.
Why? I am unimportant. Shatan is the one who had Eldaloth's blood.
Jen furrowed his brow.
What?
Padre Aethon explained it to us. It was a part of the Apocryphon they kept hidden. Shatan's blood was what held the power to destroy Mikik.
Jen sat as he absorbed the information, trying to puzzle something out that tickled in the back of his mind. But the Shalane's renewed weeping pulled him back to her.
Leaning close, he whispered so only she could hear.
Shalane, please. Nothing that has happened today is your fault. It's more mine than anyone's. Even if you had done something wrong, I would not love you less. If you had never borne the title of Shalane, or been as beautiful as every sunny spring day piled on top of each other, I still would have fallen in love with you in that canyon. I know it was a mistake you fought me for, but I could hardly help it. Please remember that while all of Keyhole only knows you as the Shalane, there are those of us who know you as much more.
She hugged him fiercely. Dacen returned quickly, frowning.
What did you say to her?
He asked grumpily. Jen disentangled himself from her arms and stood.
Just the truth, Dacen,
just the truth. Be at ease.
Ho!
Torbran shouted some distance off.
Jen, we have a problem!
You cannot do this! There are too many! The Shalane yelled a short while later, voice hoarse and frantic with desperation.
Rather than the friendly force of Rugarth marching to their aid, a column of Mikik's host, 2,000 strong, surged up the canyon. Torbrand mentioned a narrow gap where they might bottle the army for some time, and Jen had decided immediately. He and Torbrand would buy escape time while Falael and Dacen bore the Shalane away. Jen smiled at her as he and Shadan Cairn adjusted and tightened their armour. Jen's eyes were hard and resolute, while Torbrand's lit up with childlike anticipation. The heat of the late summer afternoon beaded sweat upon their brows.
"Don't worry, Shalane,"
the Shadan said happily.
"We can hold the gap for a good long while. I give us one chance in four of surviving the entire onslaught, unless they have magic, in which case I calculate 1 in 10.
"Listen to me, Jen,"
the Shalane pleaded from her litter. Her veil obscured the tears sliding down her face, but the pain in her voice could not be hidden.
"Two cannot stand against 2,000. Please don't do this. Please, Jen, obey me just this once."
Preparations done, Jen crossed to her and took her hand, eyes clear with purpose.
"Shalane, we must hold them until your mother's army arrives. Torbrand and I are the only ones who have a chance to stall them."
He lowered his voice to a whisper.
"Shatan is dead now, Shalane. Happiness and love is at last yours to have."
He drew her eyes to Dacen, scowling nearby.
"I will see it done. Never forget that you are the best of women, and that I am never wrong. Farewell."
He grinned affectionately at her and stood. In her grief, the Shalane lay back, limbs flaccid as if the bones had been pulled from her body.
"Dacen," Jen said, "may I have a word?"
Dacen nodded, and Jen stepped apart with him.
"Dacen, the plan was to meet with Mirel's army and climb out of the canyon on a path to the south that I told you about. From there, we were to head south until we passed the Cord Forest, and then strike west for Tol Nor and Rugarth. It is quite possible that Harban's army was defeated by what approaches us now. If so, you must make the journey alone."
"I understand.
Also, the Shalane will need you in the coming days. You know how she tortures herself. She has an affection for you that will be important."
Dacen nodded.
"I have always loved her, Jen. You know that. You do not think to survive this day, do you?"
"No.
And you shouldn't be too optimistic about your chances either. Please don't tell the Shalane that, if you would."
"Of course. I will praise your memory for this last sacrifice." Jen returned to the Shalane's litter and knelt beside her, taking her hand.
"You must survive. If you chance to see your mother before I do, tell her that I love her and that I'm sorry. Will you do that for me?"
"Yes,
thank you. I leave you with my love. Make haste."
"And I leave you with mine," she returned. "Come back to me, Jen. Please don't throw your life away."
Jen smiled at her and turned to the others.
"Get going, Falael, Dacen. Go as fast as you can in case the hunters get by us."
Torbrand ascended to the gap while Jen watched Dacen and the elf lift the litter and go. A sadness overcame him momentarily, but he had done everything he could to secure a pleasant future for the Shalane in their poor circumstances. As her litter disappeared into the trees at the first switchback, he joined the newly reinstated Shadan between the two massive red stones that formed the sides of the gap.
"How long do you think we have?"
Jen asked, rechecking his armour.
"By the dust, the main body will arrive shortly. We may see hunters any moment now. They will be the most important to kill in the short term. If it comes to it, we let the slower ones pass."
Jen nodded in agreement.
"So tell me, Jen," the Shadan asked, "are you really the Ilk?"
"Yes."
Torbrand shook his head and smiled.
"I thought the story a concoction to discredit you for a long time. Does that mean you can use Triss magic?"
"Not anymore. Mikik stripped the ability from me."
"Pity. That would have improved our odds. Should we stand and intimidate them or hide and ambush them?"
"Hide. If we're out in the open, the archers may be able to pick at us from a distance."
"I concur,"
the Shadan breathed out heavily, excitement playing upon his features.
"I confess, this is perhaps the most alive I have felt in years."
"And while you are confessing," Jen said, as he pulled himself out of sight behind the rock opposite from Cairn,
Explain to me how you can be brutal and cruel to everyone on Kehol, yet treat Mina as if she were a goddess of some sweet religion unknown to the rest of us.
Ah, Jen, you should know better. Love is capricious. I first saw Mina when she was 5 years old, placing my wine before me at dinner. I cannot explain how her dark looks and innocent, fierce eyes threw a net over my heart, nor do I wish to understand it. I think understanding would ruin it. She was the dearest of my soul from that instant, and I have labored to elevate her against her culture. My affection for her came from no will of mine and was contrary to my nature. It was meant to be just as the sun was meant to shine, or the wind to blow. That's the best explanation I have.
Jen grinned and turned his gaze to the canyon. The sound of marching feet and the pattering Uyumak swelled as the army narrowed the distance.
So you think we have one chance in four?
Of course not. This will see us both dead. The only question is how long we can hold out, which is a question I am quite excited to find the answer to. As for my bogus odds, the Shalane seemed so overwrought that I thought I might soften the blow of your demise a bit so she would be quiet and leave. I really can't abide such blubbering.
And here, I thought you had at last learned to be considerate.
No. Isn't it strange that if you give people even the smallest sliver of hope, they will grasp it and build their lives and dreams around it, regardless of how ridiculous and unreasonable it is. Owing to our illustrious reputations, the Shalane and her companions probably think we really do have one chance in four.
He paused, the din of the Uyumak horde complicating their conversation.
Any regrets, Jen?
Plenty. And none I wish to talk about.
I have just one. I never got to fight you. I so hoped that you would do the noble thing and challenge me during the birthday celebration in Rugoth.
You shouldn't have been so persuasive in your letter, then.
Was it good? I've always felt I was a rather pedestrian writer.
A skittering on the loose gravel on the other side of the rocks ended their banter and brought them to the ready.
Fight well!
Torbrand shouted, and as one they charged the gap. The first two hunters met the men's blades at a full gallop up the hill, falling beheaded without a chance of defence. Jen and Torbrand yelled at the top of their lungs as they waded into the midst of the vanguard. So fierce was their initial assault that the army stopped, the hunter advance hastily retreating backward. Jen and the Shadan returned up the incline and hid behind the rocks.
I will give them something to think about,
Torbrand grinned.
How many did you kill?
7.
Ha! I downed 8. 1,985 to go. Did you see a chukar or a shaman?
No.
Me neither,
Torbrand yelled over the thumping and pattering that erupted from their enemies.
Well, they're cooking up something. If they use magic, we're done for.
Yes, Jen agreed, but they won't try it yet. They have no idea what is waiting for them on the other side of this hill, and they'll save their strength. Let's pick at them while they discuss their options. They sheathed their swords and pulled bows.
Youth first,
Torbrand offered, signalling Jen forward. Jen knocked an arrow and turned the corner, catching his first good glimpse of what they faced. The army stretched down the canyon ahead of them, disappearing behind a bend in the towering walls. Formations of bashers, warriors and archers waited anxiously as a chukar consulted with the hunters at the head. To Jen's dismay, two towering gagons, hunched in the middle of the army, hefting massive crossbows. Throgs, loping along the flank, released their yellow eyes into the air. The target was obvious. Jen loosed the arrow at the chukar, who turned just in time to take it in the face. Jen pulled another arrow and fired at a nearby throg before slipping behind cover. Torbrand went next, firing twice. As he retreated behind the boulder, a flight of arrows swarmed through the gap, clacking as they bounced around the stones. The archers kept up a steady stream of missiles to discourage any further forays into the narrow space.
They've got gagons!
The Shadan exclaimed excitedly.
I hope we get to fight one.
Yellow eyes floated over the columnar stones of Butcher's Gap, staring at them and behind them before floating away.
Now they know we're alone, Jen commented calmly. He dropped his bow and drew his sword. The Shadan followed suit.
Jen, in all your reading, did it ever mention if Uyumak can feel stupid? Or perhaps display admiration for a clever foe?
No. The momentary genius of our little ruse is lost on them all, unless they have any chuckers left.
Heavier, slower footsteps approaching signalled the arrival of a company of warriors. The Shadan laughed.
Sounds like they sent about 20 to clear us out. You ready, Jen? This will be interesting. If we get through this, they will be angry. Don't let them push you back if you can help it. Only two or three can fit through the gap at once.
As before, Jen and Torbrand broke cover and killed the first four with such speed that the rest flinched backward. The meaty warriors held massive clubs and thick, hide-covered round shields, and once over the initial shock, they clumped together and charged. Jen knew he had to be careful not to be lured forward away from the gap, allowing his enemies to surround him, but he also couldn't allow too much daylight between the warriors and himself, lest the archers find a clear shot. The warriors, in their haste and anger, didn't let him ponder the particulars of strategy. A wicked sidearm club swing whistled over his head and hit the red sandy rock of Butcher's Gap, sending chunks of the weak stone showering around him. Jen thrust upward, gutting his opponent and chopping down another at the knees as he dodged the falling corpse. The next threw its club, Jen whirling away, and then charged, hoping to catch his human foe off balance. Against a slower opponent, the Uyumark's gambit may have succeeded, but Jen's reflexes were too quick, and he simply stepped aside and slashed a deep cut across the creature's back. The Shadan met a club with his sword, grunting as he absorbed the force, disengaged and chopped deeply into a warrior's side. As it fell, he stepped back and let the next Uyumark overswing and miss, cleaving its skull before it could recover. As the initial wave turned back, Jen and the Shadan pressed the attack forward, their footing tricky as they negotiated steps between the corpses. Not one of the Uyumark warriors had encountered such skill at arms, and the alacrity of the two men's assault rendered any attempt or thought of retreat impossible. 20 Uyumark warriors lay dead at the two men's feet, and they retreated behind the boulders as more arrows sped toward them, chipping away more stone and lodging in the creatures that were dead or dying in the gap. After a few moments, the arrows stopped, and the Uyumark again communicated amongst themselves. The Shadan and Jen grabbed their bows and fired two shots each before the archers pinned them again. The Shadan turned to Jen, face and armor covered in gore.
"If you hit your targets, we're down to 1,957, I think. Any guess as to what they will do next?"
Jen tightened a shoulder strap.
"If they have a brain among them, they'll just send the army forward in a steady stream. They must realize we aren't inexhaustible. It's almost like they're afraid to fully commit to pressing forward."
"It's quite possible," the Shadan shouted over the noise, "that they think this is part of some ploy, despite our apparent lack of support. Two people defying an army this size is too ridiculous to be true to them."
The slapping and thumping stopped.
"Let's see what they decided."
They both peeked around the edge of the rocks. The army had split to allow an enormous Gagon to lumber forward, surrounded by a ring of squat bashers carrying battle axes. Jen swallowed hard as he pulled back. He judged they had at least a minute to consider their options. The Gagon's massive black crossbow hung in muscular, four-digit hands swaying at its side.
"What do you think, Jen?"
Torbrand asked, eyes alight with anticipation.
"Crouch, wait for its head to clear the rocks, and shoot its eyes. If we can blind it, we can try to deal with the bashers while it stumbles about. With any luck, we can kill the thing and get it to fall in the gap."
The approach of the Gagon drowned out any further attempt at strategy. Its footsteps boomed amid the clang and clatter of its squat entourage, and as it neared the gap, it stopped, head telescoping forward to survey its prey. Jen and Torbrand fired their arrows toward the eyes, Jen's finding its mark while Torbrand's deflected off the bony skull. The creature stumbled backward, dropping its crossbow and crushing one of the bashers with a wide, three-toed foot. A drumbeat from behind was the signal, and the bashers charged the gap while the Gagon collected itself.
"Cut the bowstring on the crossbow,"
Jen shouted, as he rammed his sword into the eye slits of a basher helmet. As if sensing their intent, the bashers clumped in front of the weapon, protecting it and the suffering Gagon. Jen doubted that if he were to live another 20 years, he would find himself in a fight that rivaled the one he now sought to survive. While slow, the bashers struck with deep power. Parrying their heavy axes would be as useless as it would be fatal, so the Shadan and Jen danced around the gap, using speed and movement to confuse their foes. Within seconds, however, the Gagon had recovered, grasping its weapon and firing it at the Shadan. The heavy thwack of the bolt's release momentarily stalled the fighting, the massive projectile crashing with terrific force into the red sandstone to the Shadan's right. The bolt hit shoulder high, and at a slant, grit and rocks exploding from the impact point. In the confusion that followed, the bashers were able to push the two defenders backward out of the gap. Blood ran down the Shadan's face where some of the fragments had cut him, though Jen couldn't watch him long enough to assess the damage. A low swing bit through the armour on his thigh, pain shooting up his leg. He retaliated by chopping into the narrow space between the basher's helmet and the shoulder armour. The Gagon tossed its weapon down and swung a heavy fist at Jen, who rolled to avoid it. The ground shook at the blow, and Jen stood quickly, jumping away from another axe blow aimed at his knee and feeling another basher flanking him. Desperately, Jen swung his sword at a basher in front of him, hitting its helmet hard enough to stun it and knock it aside. Then he took a chance. In a desperate gambit, he sprinted between the muscled legs of the Gagon and into the relative clear between the gap and the rest of the army. The Gagon's head twisted about, trying to use its one eye to find its escaping quarry. The Shadan, finding himself alone, retreated farther backward. Jen watched the army closely and saw what he had hoped for, the archers taking a careful bead on him. Just as they were about to fire, he turned and ran back between the calves of the Gagon, whistling arrows intended for him peppering the legs of the monster, the heavier arrows of the Uyumak sinking deeply into its hide. The Gagon's tongueless mouth went wide with agony, and it fell to a knee, slamming its forearms and fists into the sides of the gaps to steady itself. Thumping its chest loudly, it stood, turned, and ran unsteadily and angrily back toward its own army, head cocked askew as it focused on the front line of archers with its remaining eye. The archers cast about frantically, wondering what to do until the beast tore into their ranks, killing some and scattering the others. Jen and the Shadan quickly dispatched the remaining bashers and took cover behind the stone as the enraged Gagon madly slaughtered its frightened comrades. Jen checked the Shadan's injuries. Chunks of rock had deeply lacerated the right side of his face and head, blood flowing freely. The injuries did nothing to diminish his enthusiasm.
"Mekik's breath, what a fight!" he exclaimed. "If I had 200 horsemen right now, I would drive all these Uyumak into the abyss. That was a clever maneuver, Jen. You are a smart one."
Together they peeked around the rocks, finding the Gagon covered in feathered arrows, still stomping and crushing everything around it. As they enjoyed the slaughter, they spied the rear ranks splitting to allow something to come forward.
"What do you think they'll come up with next, Jen?"
the Shadan asked, resting against the rock. "It is hard to say. It appeared as if their commander was riding to the front, so maybe he will have the sense just to pour his army into the gap. Surely they know that we're the only ones here." An earth-shaking thud signaled the fall of the Gagon, and they spied on their enemies once more. Their commander approached, riding just behind the head of an enormous, undulating black snake. The hood of his dark cloak was down, revealing a weathered and scarred elven face. He was bald, and even from a distance Jen could feel the dark intelligence in his eyes. His only adornment was a row of silver earrings edging his left ear. He held no reins, no weapon, and no standard, and after a few minutes of communicating in Elvish to a group of chukkas gathering around him, he turned and slithered back from whence he had come. Shortly, the deep booming of drums echoed down the long line of Uyumak between the canyon walls, and at a final deep drum beat, the army moved forward as one, feet set for the gap. Colbrand smirked.
"Whoever that dark elf was, he apparently is the genius of the army. I would have liked a chance at the snake. I think I've had enough of snakes. This is it, Jen. Let's hope the abyss is not as bad as they say."
Jen swallowed hard and exhaled, turning to scan the trail behind him, unable to see the Shalane's party.
"Run, Falael. Run, Dyson. Get her away from here."
The wave of scaled bodies, claws, clubs, axes, and teeth washed into the gap as Jen and Torbrand stood against it and commenced the work of death. All semblance of planning or thought disappeared, trained instinct commandeering the task of survival. In seconds they had felled a sufficient number of opponents to choke the gap with their bodies, but this did not slow their advance for long as a wall of creatures pushed Jen and Torbrand out of their advantageous position as they scrambled backward to prevent the Uyumak from flanking them. Torbrand fought fiercely,
the Uyumak paying dearly for coming within the reach of his blade. In the brief glimpses Jen could snatch of his master, he finally understood why Torbrand would always be his better at the sword. Jen fought out of necessity, the Shaddan for pure pleasure. Torbrand yelled, he taunted, he laughed, and, despite being hopelessly outnumbered, intimidated his foes. Jen used his speed to his best advantage, stringing his enemies out so they could not bring their collective strength to bear upon him. But there were simply too many. How long they had fought, Jen could not guess. Bruises and cuts decorated them both, but the pain merely whispered to their minds, easily ignored, while they immersed themselves in the chaotic swirl of violence around them. Jen heard Torbrand grunt as a basher cut him down at the knees. A swarm of Uyumak warriors surrounded the Shaddan as he continued fighting from the ground. The warriors' clubs pounded him over and over until a wicked strike caved in his skull. Torbrand Cairn was dead. Jen swallowed hard and tried to keep his wits about him as a group of warriors surrounded him and started to close. He was limping badly, and he could barely use his left arm after intercepting a club blow with it. Blood covered him from head to toe. One of the warriors thumped, and they rushed him. "This is how I end." Dimly, he was aware of the rest of the army now pushing forward through the gap and toward the trail. The thought of them catching up to the Shalane infused him with enough energy to stage one last rally. The Shalane, hearing the booming of the drums, stirred for the first time since Jen had bidden her farewell. She tried peering through the foliage to the battlefield below, but the trees grew too thickly. Twisting, she attempted to see what lay ahead of them. "Have a care, Shalane," Falael warned, accented voice tender as she jostled the litter. "We would not want to drop you. What do you look for?"
"Find somewhere you can see the battle and stop. I must know what is happening."
"Shalane," Dayson said, "I think it would be better if we moved on as quickly as we can. They're buying us time to escape."
"Stop when you can see, Falael," the Shalane ordered, ignoring Dayson's argument.
Reaching inside her dress pocket, she could feel the warm animon and knew that Jen yet lived. Within a few seconds, the battle below was joined once again, and after a steep climb they encountered a small promontory that provided a clear view of the valley floor. While the figures below were difficult to distinguish from one another, Torbrand and Jen created snake-like paths of enemies alive and killed as they worked an irregular retreat away from the gap. Clumps of Uyumak would form around each, briefly, only to have Jen or Torbrand burst through, a frustrated mass of enemies trailing in their wake and stumbling over their slain companions. Dayson and Falael watched the battle transfixed, chatting gravely to one another and pointing their long fingers at the field below. Jen and the Shaddan heroically decimated the vanguard of Mikik's army, but elements already passed them by and started toward the mountainside path.
"We should go, m'lady," Dayson gently suggested.
"The main group now marches toward this trail. The hunters could catch us very quickly." The elf nodded his agreement, but the Shalane could not tear herself away. A portentous dread, not of fancy or speculation, compelled her to spectate as fate unfolded on the stage before her. Before she could offer a rebuttal to Dayson's suggestion, Shaddan Cairn fell underneath an overwhelming onslaught.
"And so passes Shaddan Cairn," Dayson intoned softly.
The Shalane barely heard him. Within her heart, terror swelled, for there, unmistakable, fought Jen, alone, wounded and scrambling for his life amid butchered Uyumak felled by his hand. A group surrounded him and charged, and just as the wave hit, a thunderous peal of drums reverberated through the canyon. As one, Jen's attackers and the army which slowly poured onto the battlefield below reversed course and commenced retreating back through the gap.
"Lord Kildan has caught them from the rear, I believe," Falael surmised.
With difficulty and pain, the Shalane rose from her litter and scanned the carnage below for any sign of Jen. Her heart leapt as she felt the anemone still warm within the folds of her pocket. At last she spotted him, using his sword as leverage to push himself up. His left arm hung useless at his side, and he stood unsteadily for several moments before staggering tentatively forward, the sword a crutch supporting a leg that he could barely drag upon the ground.
"Easily healed," the Shalane thought joyously. "Just one touch is all I need."
She turned to Falael.
I need to get down there as quickly as possible.
But Falael's eyes remained riveted on the battlefield. The Shalane turned back, hand coming to her mouth. One of the retreating warriors detoured away from the main body and walked toward Jen, who had managed only a scant few feet in his progress toward the trail. Jen's back was turned, but he heard the creature approach and try to turn to meet it, falling to his knees. It took but a moment. The Uyumak raised its heavy crossbow and fired it into Jen's chest at a range of 10 paces. The bolt punctured his breastplate and threw Jen backward to the ground with stunning force. The Shalane flinched and stumbled as if the bolt had struck her instead, landing hard on her litter. The anemone in her pocket shattered. For the young queen, time stopped flowing. All thought halted. All emotion evaporated. Her breath pulled back into her chest and died. She existed, stunned and frozen in the moment just before the Uyumak loosed the fatal bolt. Unwilling to step forward into an unfathomable reality, in this space the Shalane hovered for many moments, but grief could not be denied, clutching its victim's hand and dragging her forward into an unwanted life. She lay still, for how long she cared not.
"What is your will, lady?"
Falael asked, face concerned.
"Go down."
"No," Dacen countered. "We wait until we are sure of the outcome. Should Lord Kildan fail—" The Shalane pulled herself from the litter in frustration. Weak and tired, she stumbled down the path, Falael and Dacen pleading with her to stop and lay back on the litter. She ignored them, tired of resistance. She wanted nothing to do with anything or anyone. She tripped and fell so many times her knees bled. Dacen tried to help her, but she shoved him away. Dimly she heard Falael comment that the horses of Mirel's army had emerged onto the plain, but the Shalane barely registered anything around her. She existed alone, in a barren country of anguish, until she reached the bottom, and picked her way across the field to where Mirel sat amid the rack, cradling Jen's body in her arms, weeping in unchecked agony. Cadean crouched beside her, pained. Only when the Shalane joined her mother on the ground could she admit the presence of another into the arms of her grief.